this is George Kamon. And
Radio.
Hello, this is George Kamon, and I apologize. I'm a little late. Technical difficulties. Couldn't get on. Couldn't log on. I don't know what it was. Skype. I'm actually making some changes as of tomorrow. I'm going to a different server, and that should speed up everything. So I apologize. Those have been waiting, those sitting in the chat room wanting to talk. I'm going to reopen the chat room again. So we're going to talk about fear. What are your fears? And I have some articles on that and some thoughts on that and where fears come from. And I had a really good article I wanted to cover, if I can find it again. You know, it's like, yes, I know. Okay, so let me find the article again, and then we'll talk about fears. So I got callers, and I'm waiting for the chat room to open. Okay, it'll open in a minute. Just, everything is running really slow today. I'm not running that slow, but it's everything. So let me call while we're waiting for the chat room to work. I wonder why it's not working. Okay, so this is one of those Fridays with technical difficulties, and everybody in the world in my local neighborhood must be on the internet. So I don't know what's going on. So let me take a call, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about fear. We'll talk about the opposite of how to get past fear and what to do to get past our fears. And that's the whole thing. Because there's two dynamics in life. There's fear, and then there's love. And everything seems to fall into one side of the spectrum. I know people say, well, there's a lot more emotions than just fear and love. And I agree with that. There's a lot more. But they seem to fall on one side of the spectrum or the other. So that's what I wanted to talk about, is how to overcome those fears, how to get past those fears, and what are they, and what do you fear? And I have an article on the 10 strongest human fears. And we're not talking about avalanches and spiders. We're talking more emotional fears. Okay? So I'm trying to get the chat room to reopen, and it won't do it. So let me do this. Don't know why it's not working. Let me take a call, and then I'll work with the chat room. I'll be with you. I'll get it open in a minute. Everything seems to be a little slow and strange today, if I can even talk to anybody. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Is it a blue moon? I don't know what blue moons affect everything technically, but or technology-wise, but I'm having a technology kind of a meltdown today. So, who am I speaking to?
My name is Alexis.
Oh, that's a good name.
Oh, thank you.
That's my daughter's name, so that's why.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
So what's going on in your life?
Well,
What do you fear?
Well, I actually didn't know that this show was about fear. I was calling because I see that you're a medical intuitive, which I think is really
okay,
awesome.
Okay, well, do you realize that let me get it. I have this article on the top 10 fears, and one of the number 8 on the list is pain or being sick.
Oh, wow.
So if we're talking about fears, so obviously if you're talking to a medical intuitive or somebody, then there's something going on that's related to that, right? Follow me?
Right.
So what's going on?
Correct.
So what's going on?
Well, I'm calling because about my little brother. He has some sort of medical issue that no one can seem to figure out. He's been to every doctor in the world, like DNA doctors, blood doctors, this, that, the other. And I was hoping that maybe you have some insight or advice or something.
Okay. So what's his first name?
Billy or William.
What's his date of birth?
November 13th, 86.
Ah, good Scorpio, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just going to give you what spirit gives me, and give me a little bit of the symptoms and see if I'm on the right track. Okay, give me a little
of
the symptoms.
Well, when he exercises, the next couple days after his exercise, he's completely lethargic, completely drained. He can't really move, and he's getting his PhD right now, so it's affecting his school and it's affecting his life and.
So he's been checked out for all the normal stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's been to every doctor.
They've looked at his heart, and they've done the heart exams, and here's the word I keep getting, and it might be, and I'll give you this. And I don't know why I get this, but then also I'm hearing something else related to it. Blood. Okay, because the blood carries the oxygen. Okay? And you need the oxygen in your system to do whatever you're going to do, right? Mm-hmm. You deplete oxygen when you exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your muscles need the oxygen, and it's carried through your system to the blood. So have they done a lot of blood scans and blood testing on him?
Yeah, he's been to blood doctors, yeah.
And what have they said?
They can't find anything.
Okay, so, you know what? This is a tough one because I keep getting blood, and it doesn't run in your family because that would be the other way I would interpret blood, right? Mm-hmm. So he's the only one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have lupus.
I don't think so.
Well, that's one of the symptoms of lupus is that drained feeling all the time.
Okay,
You can't do anything. I don't know. Lupus just jumped in really quick. Like, you know, it's like you can't do anything. It's hard to do anything. Do you know what I mean? I've known people with lupus.
Yeah.
You know, you have good spells, but a lot of times you just, it's like even getting out of bed is sometimes tough.
Yeah. That's what he's going through.
And he doesn't have MS. No.
No.
Right? He's not losing his limbs or anything. I would have him check up lupus. That's for some reason that pops in. And it feels like, because that's very common. It's usually women that get it, but, you know, it could happen to anybody, right? Because it's a fatigue syndrome. He has a fatigue syndrome.
Correct?
And it's either lupus or something related to it, but it's a fatigue syndrome of some kind like that. Muscle fatigue, right? So that's what's going on with him.
Yes, and brain and fog, brain memory, kind of at the same time. Yeah,
we're back to oxygen. We're back to the blood and oxygen again too.
Okay.
And it's the circulation of it. It's not okay. My blood's kind of okay, but is it getting to where it needs to go?
Okay.
Right.
Got it. Yep. Got
it. I don't know why I get that. I mean, if he hasn't looked into it. And some people boo-hoo it and say, it's all your imagination, but it's not. It is really a fatigue syndrome of some form. And I was trying to look into maybe a past life but I don't pick anything up on that would relate to this at all. I'm not seeing anything from a prior life. No, I'm stretching that one and no. So, yeah, have him check into, have him look, go to a specialist who deals with fatigue syndrome, lupus, or related things like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
That's the best I can
Thank
give you.
Thank you so much.
But if he hasn't gone that direction, he really needs to look that direction because he's fatigued all the time, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, no, only after exercise.
Well, but he's draining the system. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And he's not replenishing your muscles. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with this, and I'm not a doctor, and I'm not professing to be a doctor. And of course, but what I get from spirit is, and I know this, if you exercise a lot, your body gets really drained, and the muscles get really tired, and the muscles, you don't dissipate the acids, the chemicals in the body from exercising. Okay, so it takes time to replenish the muscles. It takes time for to get that flow back in, right?
Right.
But he's not doing that.
Yeah.
He's not. And he's young enough, 88, that makes him, what, 86. So he's 29.
20.
Yeah.
29.
Well, he'll
be 29 this year. Yeah.
Yeah, he's at that age where he really needs to look at something like that. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes, that's what I hear for him, but it wouldn't hurt to check into it anyway, regardless, because he's tried everything, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, call me
Hopefully
back.
You're the golden, what? What's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, call me back and tell me what's going on. I mean, you know, it's like I listen to the car guys and people call them back later. Yeah, you were right about that, you know, the car diagnosis, right? So I'd love to hear back and say, oh, yeah, that was it. Or, no, this is what they found. Oh, really? Okay. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank
pray for
you.
him. Pray for him.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I do.
And send him a lot of positive energy. He'll get better. I'm not trying to get a prediction, but he will get better. He will find the answer. He'll find the solution. Okay?
Oh, good. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. So, it's not related to her, but there's a fear there. I mean, we're talking about fears. One end of the spectrum is fear, and the other end of the spectrum is love. And if you have a family member that's going through a great deal of illness, there's a fear that this person's never going to get better. So we're going through the top 10 reasons for fear. And this is not fears of spiders and dragons and all kinds of crazy things. This is common fears. And I'm going to, as I said before, there's two ends of the spectrum. There's fear and then there's love. And you can replace, you can move from fear to love. Now, what I wanted to do is go through this article. And it was from a website called listverse.com. And it's all about science and things and, you know, lists of things. And it had the top 10 fears that we have. Okay, so number 10. Unless somebody wants to call in or have questions in the chat room, but I'd like to go through this because this is kind of fun. And I apologize for coming in late, but technical things. And hopefully I'm going to have that all resolved tomorrow because I'm changing my server and hopefully it'll be much faster. Yeah. Yes, I know I lost sound. And I hope everybody in the chat room is doing really well. Have a great weekend planned for yourselves. You're going to have some fun. It's always about let's have some fun, right? And I'm sure you can hear me now. Because the other lady heard me. So, okay. Losing your freedom. Ooh, losing your freedom is number 10 on the list. Now, let me go through that because it's really a nice little article because it gives you kind of a definition of losing your freedom. And I'll let Spirit see if I can get an answer from Spirit on what the opposite of that is. Where on the love spectrum can you go? Hearing some words as I'm saying that. So let me go through the article. What the exact definition of freedom is and its value in society are debatable subjects. The fear of losing your freedom has always been present in human minds because even though it is not something that we think about every single moment, it has given us times of deep thought and wonder at what would happen if we were to lose the power to control our own lives. Now, and I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, it could be like losing a freedom, like getting out of the house, being bedridden, right? That sort of thing. It's not just I'm in prison, freedom. Okay, so the article talks about that. The fear starts with mundane things, such as time you were grounded in your room by yourself without the possibility of leaving until you finished your homework. Ooh, right? Or the fear of commitment that marriage establishes. Now, I was reading that, and I'm thinking, isn't that true for a lot of men? The loss of freedom. I won't be able to go out with the guys anymore, and I won't be able to do anything, and I'm going to be, you know, ball and chain kind of attitude, right? The old ball and chain. Yeah. That's a fear. Now, you can think really quickly that there is an opposite to that. One word I would give you is acceptance. Acceptance of your situation. And the next word is appreciation. Well, let's talk about that in a minute, okay? This raises a question. Is absolute freedom the best thing for us? We all have seen people make bad decisions over and over again and wondered whether there's something else makes their decisions for them would make things better. If somebody else, well, isn't that a good idea, though? If you think about it, well, you have somebody controlling your life, you know? Well, what about your higher self? That's where decisions and answers and so forth come from, right? The higher power, God, the universe, whatever you call it, isn't that a good place to get those answers? Okay, so let's get into the fear of freedom. Appreciation for where you're at. Learning to appreciate everything you have right now in the place that you're at. And I'm reminded of Nelson Mandela, even though he didn't want to be in prison for all those 20-something years. He learned to appreciate where he was at. He learned to find happiness in where he's at. projections is the word I hear too. Okay, no projections. If you're afraid of being in a marriage, then you project it out how horrible it could be. Instead of looking on the happy side of the street. Well, you know, this is not a bad thing, really. You know, this is not a bad thing. Well, I'm stuck in my room and I got to do my homework. Well, that's not a bad thing, really. You can appreciate your situation. If you get your homework done, you get a good grade. If you're being punished, well, you get to look at it, you know, kind of self-analysis. So the loss of freedom, and I'm not talking about incarceration, but that, you know, that's one. But it's really freedom from a situation. But it's time to look at, appreciate where you're at right now. Find joy where you're at right now. Find love where you're at. Seek internal happiness in the situation you're at right now. And you can kind of overcome that fear of, oh, the lack of freedom. Because that's a perception. It's not a reality. You're always free. Regardless of the situation, you have a free mind to go anywhere. You have a free imagination to take you anywhere. You don't have to get stuck, right? You have an imagination. Even if you're in a cell somewhere, you have the imagination to go sit on a beach somewhere. You can meditate. You can visualize. You can be sitting and you can smell it, feel it, touch it. I'm in the sand. You can create situations out of the worst situation. So that's one fear. So let's move on. Let's move on to the unknown. Ooh, isn't that a big one? Anybody have a fear of the unknown? That's pretty common with people, isn't it? The unknown. And what happens with the unknown? Let me read the article and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. The fear of the unknown is easily explained like this. The mind tells us that in order to move forward, we must know what is waiting for us there. Because if I know, then I can control the situation. Ooh, that's the key word there, control, right? Control the situation. And if I don't know, then I'm not in control. So it's a fear of being out of control, isn't it? More than just the unknown? Okay. This second part is what scares us the most, because control is what establishes a measurement that we can use to manipulate the result of our actions. That sounds rather complicated. And then we don't like what is different. This is simply because we can neither understand it nor we have a plan to control it beforehand. So that's all control. That's all control. So the fear is letting go of control. As much as the unknown. So we'll talk a little bit more and see what Spirit has to say. This fear has been with us for thousands of years and is a great part of what has helped us survive as species. Well, there's fear. Fear of the unknown. If I go over there, I might get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger, right? Okay? Many of us, when we were kids, were afraid of the dark, mainly because we didn't know what might be hiding in there. Similarly, when we don't know what might be at the end of the hallway, we felt the need to push ourselves away from it. However, the fear of the unknown often stops our progress. It makes us harder for us to discover and understand new things, encouraging rejection and closed-mindedness. Well, okay, what's an answer? How do you overcome that? Well, you guys have an idea. How do you overcome this fear of the unknown? Well, the first thing that comes to me, kind of pops in really fast, is it's the ego. It's not your soul. It's not your divine self. Your divine self sees the future. Your soul sees the future. It sees the soul is creating the future, right? Your higher self is creating the future. Your ego is stuck in, oh my goodness, what if things happen and change it? I can't control it. So what's the solution? Get out of the ego. Trust in your higher self. Meditate on your higher self. Meditate on being in a place where you can not control the future. It's not about controlling the future, but appreciating what's going to happen to you. And again, we're back to the word appreciation or gratitude. But this is appreciation about the future. It's about appreciation about things that you want to happen. You know, it's that law of attraction principle of this is what I want to happen. So I'm going to visualize, I'm going to get into that place of appreciating what's going to happen to me, what I want to happen, and I can let go of some of the fear because I've turned it over. I've given it to my higher self to create a future that's going to be beautiful. I don't have to control it. I don't have to because it's going to be amazing because I've turned it over, right? What do you think? Yes or no, maybe, kind of, sort of. What do you think? Any other comments or questions? I always get people in the chat room to comment on these things if you have a comment. But let's move on. I'm going to run out of time, I think, because I'm going to skip pain. And we talked a little bit about pain before with the lady. How about the next one, which is a big one? And this is a very limiting thing. The next few are like hold us back from doing a lot of things in our lives. Really, seriously. And the next one is disappointment. Right? Disappointment. Ooh, yucky, huh? The fear is somewhat hard to explain since there are two different fears that are related to disappointment. One is one of disappointing others and one suffering disappointment yourself. Right? Okay. We all, as kids, live that awful experience in which we did something wrong or misbehaved, and we're expecting a punishment or at least screaming at us from our parents. But instead, we got the unpleasant sight of our parents just staring at us with sadness in their eyes and saying, I am disappointed in you. The single sentence hurt a lot more than any other punishment could have or would have. Okay, what do you think? Okay, let's move on. The fear of disappointment is part of the reason we avoid the unknown. Disappointment is the feeling of dissatisfaction when our expectations do not match what exactly has happened. Well, then we have to change the... I'm not going to finish the rest of the article because... And I'm going to skip some of the other ones too. But let's look at disappointment. How do you flip from disappointment from that end of the fear spectrum into the love end of the spectrum? How do you go from the fear of disappointment? Okay, I'm going to give you an expression I hear. The joy of the adventure. It's how do you look at the adventure of your life? And another way of looking at it, another mantra that you could use is failure. Failure is just a lesson to grow. Don't be. The reason we're disappointed is because we're disappointed ourselves because we didn't complete something. We didn't do it the way we thought we'd do it. It didn't turn out the way we wanted it to. And so we're a failure at some level, right? No, but look at it as it's just an opportunity to grow. You know, that Thomas Edison thing, how many hundreds of times or thousands of times did he fail finding the filament for the light bulb? But each time, and I'm sure he was discouraged, and I'm sure he was disappointed when each one didn't work, but he moved into the challenge, the opportunity to do it better next time. It's the joy of the adventure. Ooh, I like that one. Spirit said that one. The joy of the adventure. It's not a disappointment, it's a lesson. If you look at it, okay, what happened? Why did it happen? What could I do differently? How can I do it differently? How can I make it happen differently? Right? So disappointment, we turn into the joy of the adventure. Now, this seems far-fetched in some ways, but think about it. It's the joy of the adventure. Okay, the comment in the chat room is, yes, but it is hard to let go. Well, see, that's trust, isn't it? How do you surrender and truly let it go and trust? And as I've said it lots of times, and other teachers tell you the same thing, and if you read this, and a lot of it's not the big things that start with. You build trust by faith, right? But you build faith by experience. And, okay, I'm going to ask for the little things. I'm going to put my full faith in something little happening in my life, not the big one. It's like, I'm going to meet somebody tomorrow and fall in love tomorrow, or I'm going to make $1 million tomorrow. You know that? I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm going to $1 million tomorrow. That doesn't always happen, right? Because you don't have the faith yet to move that mountain. So it's faith. But you build faith by experience. And you build faith by connection. That's what I hear too. You build it by connection with your higher self through meditation, through prayer, so that you have this knowing that you're really connected. It's getting to the place of really knowing that you have that connection, that you can trust the connection. Do you understand what I mean by trust the connection? That you have a connection with your higher self, to God, the universe, something. And that's through experience, but it's also through meditation, it's through listening, it's learning to understand and get the messages that you need to get, paying attention to the synchronicity in your lives. Okay, well, moving on. I'm going to skip a few. These are really good, and let's get to the next one. In the top 10, I'm number 5. Let's do number 5. I got about a half hour, 15 minutes left. Anybody wants to call in or any questions? Any other thoughts on this idea of fear? Because most everything that's limiting you from getting what you want in your life is based on a fear. Like fear of disappointment, fear of failure. Okay, how about this one? This is a good one. Loneliness. How many people have a fear of loneliness? Just being alone. I've had friends over the years that could not be alone, regardless. They always had to have somebody around. Why is that? Okay, let me read the article. The fear of being alone is that dreadful feeling of an emptiness caused by the absence of interaction with another human being. This fear is also evolved from one of our early survival instincts. We fear loneliness because it is more likely that we would survive if we live in a group. Okay, got it? That's pretty simple, you know. If I'm part of a tribe, then I'm more likely to survive. And spirit says you're always part of a tribe. So, you know, you just got to get to that concept of you're always part of a tribe. You always have angels around you. And then we're back to that connecting thing. Let me finish the article. The fear of loneliness is related to doing something and no one noticing it. Now, that's interesting. It's a fear of acceptance. It's a fear that I won't be accepted too, right? We often feel in order for our actions to be meaningful, someone has to notice them. This relates to the philosophy quote, if a tree falls in the forest, no one around to hear it, does it make a sound? If you make a groundbreaking discovery, no one else ever finds about it, but does it still count? So if nobody sees what you do, does it really count? I'm all alone. Then we're back to the word of self-love, right? Loving yourself. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. But loneliness. Okay, we're back to solution again, because we have to get into solution here. Because if you're lonely, what is the solution? You want people. We're gregarious. We love people. We love people around us. And we're all by ourselves. We're Tom Hanks on a desert island, and all we have is Wilson, right? The soccer ball. So he found the soccer ball. He made friends with the soccer ball. He called it Wilson. I mean, that's an extreme case, but it's trusting the universe, trusting God, trusting your higher self to bring you something that fulfill that void. If it's an internal knowing, I mean, other than becoming schizophrenic or neurotic and you're talking of all these, you know, split personalities in your head, which I guess in some cases would be okay, but for the most part, we want interactions with somebody else, right? So it's trust. We're back to trust. We're back to connecting. We're back to self-love. 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 Okay, so that's a big one. I'm going to skip something because, I'm going to do the top 3, and then I think we'll have enough time for that. And if anybody has any comments or wants to call in and talk about your fears and what Spirit has to say about your fears, be open, be vulnerable. Nobody knows you. See, we have a fear of not being vulnerable sometimes too, don't we? I can't put myself out there because somebody might like rejection. And that's the next one. 3, rejection. Top 3, one of the top 3 is rejection. This social fear is one of the main reasons people act the way they do. We tend to sometimes blindly follow the actions of others because it helps us avoid dealing with rejection from the society. We fear rejection because, like the fear of being alone, most of us can only justify our existence through the acknowledgement and acceptance of others. That's self-acceptance, right? Accepting who you are. Kind of believing in yourself. Hey, I'm cool. I don't need other people. I mean, it'd be nice, but do I really need other people? Love. Loving yourself. Kind of creating little mantras about, oh, I love myself and I'm going to have a great day. I'm not going to worry what other people say about me. Creating your mantras, right? I know it's not easy, but it's overcoming that fear of love of yourself, acceptance of yourself, who you are. Okay, let me finish the article, and we'll get into some other points that Spirit would have to say. There are people who argue that acceptance from society is a mere illusion, and there is no such thing as normal behavior from the individual within a society. If this is the case, then why do we fear not behaving correctly in accordance with cultural norms? Because we don't want to be outcasts, right, do we? Nah, I don't think so. We all want to be considered be the in crowd, right? Yeah, okay, right. This really puts us in the perspective of our whole ethical infrastructure as a society. Is something really good or bad just because society says it's so? So rejection. Being rejected by... So we're back to this whole idea, and this is not about self-love. I mean, there's part of it, loving yourself, accepting yourself as who you are. And again, I keep falling back on the same concept of this idea that we'd like to be around people like ourselves, don't we? Don't we like to be around people like ourselves? So isn't it about, again, manifesting people like ourselves in some ways? I mean, we're all different. We bring different things to the table, even in friendships. But we want to be around people who accept us as who we are, right? So we're not rejected. So it's that prayerful attitude, that meditating attitude of the universe bringing us people that can be like that, that will accept us for who we are. And we learn to accept ourselves. And again, we're back to this whole idea of lessons, aren't we? If we're rejected, why are we rejected? And it's a perception, and it's very subjective and not objective. Because if we're being rejected by somebody else or people in general, it's because, but they're different than us. So what? Okay? They don't see the world the way you do, or I do. Oh, I think I'm here. I don't know what happened. I thought, let me take a caller. And it says I'm on the air. It doesn't say I've gone away. Nothing indicates my thing. So I think I'm here. Okay. So let me take a call. I can hear somebody. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Yes. Who am I speaking to?
This is Andrea.
Andrea?
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm okay, and you?
I'm doing well. I'm having, yeah, it's been a technical weird day, but I'm hoping I'm going to resolve that in the next couple of days. So next week it'll be all flying high. So what's going on with you? So what's your fear? We're talking about fears today.
I don't know. I think I have many fears, and I think a lot of it comes from low self-esteem. And I think that started in my childhood because I had a very controlling mother.
Yeah, well, that's usually where it starts at around age 7 or 8, people putting us down, right?
Yes.
So how are you going to change it?
I don't know. I don't know how to. I don't know how to get rid of those old tapes and really be confident in myself and, you know, raise my self-esteem because, you know, I feel like I have a calling on my life and I'm supposed to help other people. I have been through so much. Health-wise, 20 years I had autism that's nonverbal.
Right.
And that caused, you know, a lot of stress in my life. But
can I interrupt for a second? Because this stuff comes to me from Spirit, and I make sure I follow through what I hear. So would you say that you've done a good job with your son who has autism, that you've done as best you can, right?
Yeah, I would say that. Me and my husband, and we've been doing it, but... Yeah.
Let me ask you another question then along this line. Is this self-esteem based on expectation of what you're supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? See,
yeah.
Sometimes we somebody puts the thing up so high, the standard that we're supposed to reach, that we kind of go, oh, I'll never get there. I can never get there, right?
Yeah.
So maybe you need to accept yourself that I don't need to reach all the way up there. I'm doing okay the way I am right now. I'm functioning. Yeah, I would say for you, and what I hear for you from Spirit, and now you can go to a therapist and you can do a regression work and you can go under and find out where all this fear came from. If you want to do all that stuff, fine, do it. or you can sit down and get a piece of paper out. Or on the computer, however you do this thing, and start to think about the things that you really do appreciate about yourself. Make a list. You're functioning, right? And start with the little things. I can eat. I like food. I enjoy a variety of food, right?
Yeah.
I like to get out. I like to walk. I have friends, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm a caring human being. I love to help other people. People appreciate me when I help them. Isn't that all that not true, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you got to make a list. You make this really long list of things about yourself that you really do appreciate.
Okay.
And why people, and if you could ask people that you trust, I mean, some people, what do you like about me? Oh, because you're this and you're that, da-da-da-da-da, right?
Yeah.
Make a list of those things.
People are drawn to me. Especially babies.
Okay, so why do you have low self-esteem if all these wonderful things are happening in your life? Okay, here's a great expression to use, and I learned this from reading from a book by Dr. Hamilton from Scotland, and he's kind of a self-help, but he's like a scientist also. He uses this expression, and you might want to write this out and put it on your mirror, and every morning say, I am enough. I am enough. You got that? I am enough.
Yes, I am enough.
I love myself, and my intention is to only attract people who love me today or have the best intentions for me today. But I love myself. I am enough.
I'm
just
enough.
That simple statement. I love myself, and I am enough, and my intention today is attract people who support me in these feelings.
Right.
Something like that. But the key expression is I am enough.
Okay.
Because you don't have to be more than who you are.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, and you don't have to live up to somebody else's standard, whether it be your parents, your siblings, your teachers, whoever it was that said, "Oh, you got to be more than this."
Mm-hmm.
You got to appreciate your gifts. You really do. So write them all out. Get a list, and you go, "Wow, keep it around." When you start feeling down, well, you look at your list and go, "Hey, I'm pretty good after all. I'm not so bad." Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
you have a lot of talent and ability. They can read your energy. You have a lot of talent. So don't let this whatever this energy is to get you down from moving forward, because you can conquer the world. Your world.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Remember that. Now, this is really important. Don't forget this one. I am enough. I am enough just the way I am. Of course you want to grow and you want to learn and you want to do all that stuff, but that's just the process. That's part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then tomorrow you can say, I am enough. Even though I learned all this stuff yesterday, I'm still enough. Okay, go for it.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care. That's I am enough. Everybody should write that in, put that on their mirror. I am enough. Because, okay, so what's number one? And I only have a couple minutes left. I'll give you number one, about a minute and a half. Okay, so let me give you number one. It's failure, the fear of failure. Well, we can talk about this on Monday more. And then I go through some of these other ones because I didn't have time today. This fear deserves the top spot because it rules over all our actions and decisions. And we're back to this, I'm enough. I'm enough. And looking at failure, we shouldn't fear failure, we should accept failure. We should rejoice in failure. A, you're doing something, right? You're moving through something, you're trying to accomplish something. But you should look at failure, and I'm not reading the article, but I give you what I hear from Spirit, is failure is an opportunity to grow. Failure is to go, wow, okay, what did I do? How could I have done it differently? Let me learn a little bit more about what I'm doing. Let me grow a little bit more, and then I'll move on to the next level. And if I fail again, so what? Read about people who have failed. Every great achievement in life is after a sequence of failures. Everyone who has accomplished great things has had a series of failures before they got to that thing. Henry Ford, okay? Thomas Edison, the moon landings. You know, they took a long time to get to the moon. They didn't just happen, boom, or at the moon. You know, there were a lot of failures to get to the moon, right? Or space or whatever it is. Okay, I'm out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Monday's going to be more fun because we're going to have more better connection, I hope. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. We will talk really soon. And I don't know what we'll talk about on Monday, but it'll be along the same kind of concepts. Okay, take care. Thank you. Bye.